now you've made it all the way up to the top of the building. What do you think?
It's weird seeing it, like a real house. It's kind of the best moment actually today was when we came inside the house through a door, which we've never done before, and then immediately we're faced with the void above the dining room, which obviously we've never had that because it's always been modules separate to each other. So actually once module 8 gets put on top of module 4, you suddenly get the sort of spatial experience that.
So which are the modules on the ground? What numbers are they?
Basically the L shape is 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
So it kind of goes clockwise.
And then the top row.
The same again. 5 is above 1, so 5 is the one that's not on. And then sort of clockwise it goes 6, 7, 8.
Oh, there is a module missing then at the moment.
There is a module missing at the moment.
Is that module going to arrive?
It was the water damaged one.
Right.
It was a slight technical hitch. This is a problem because essentially Eco Builders, this project, I presume you know this is for Madrid.
Yes. So this is your testing,
so
really,
isn't it?
This is
essentially our testing. So really this is the way that we've learned how to do things.
Yeah.
And unfortunately it means that sometimes we've learned through mistakes and sometimes we've learned through sort of figuring it out.
So your role in the project, you were involved. Tell me about your involvement in the project.
Well, I was, along with Chris and Rachel, I was part of a team of three people who, last around January, started a fifth year architecture unit at Nottingham. And one of the projects within that unit was to design a solar decathlon house, which was also sort of connected to another project, which was about sustainable housing in Nottingham. And so we eventually won the internal competition and then took it forward with the help of the rest of the unit to a sort of competition stage, I guess, in terms of architecture. And then during the summer, Rachel, me and Chris worked at a local architect in Nottingham called Marsh Grahovsky, where we took it up to sort of roughly tender stage, which was sort of construction, sort of developing the design a little bit more, making sure that it met Passive House and Code Level 6 and all that. And then since term started again in September, I've been sort of halfway between one of the architects on the project, though I'm not an architect, and the contractor. It's very weird, I'm sort of half builder, half client.
There's sort of that mix between architect and engineer. In this project?
A little bit. The engineering side is more of an environmental engineering rather than structural engineering.
Right.
Though, I mean, it's also heavily integrated. It's very difficult to see where one stops and when one starts. But actually, the really interesting thing, which probably isn't so interesting for people that aren't architecture students.
Well, it's architecture students and architecture people this is for, so let's be as geeky as we like.
Is the fact that, certainly for me, I've ended up as, you know, the architect of sort of playing the role of the designer and then moved on to essentially sort of a client type role and then moved into a contractor role. So I've sort of seen most of the sort of arrangements of the construction industry, which is kind of strange because you sort of, you get that feeling. When I was in practice, you'd always get called up saying, you know, where's that drawing? Why haven't you dimensioned this? And, you know, on this project, you end up saying, why didn't I dimension that? So it's kind of the blame trail sort of falls. It's a very small circle which leads back round to yourself.
Which is a great learning
curve.
Which
is an incredible learning curve. I mean, the second years are going to get a lot out of this because they're going to go out into practice after third year. And, you know, they're going to be able to, I mean, as well as having amazing sort of design skills, which they'll have by the end of third year, they'll be able to realise the designs without sort of annoying everyone around them, which is sometimes what third years do, because there's a slight naivety that sometimes, probably not from Nottingham, but a lot of architecture students don't know much about construction when they come out. Whereas this project, and there was a project last year where some second years built a school in South Africa. I mean, I'd love to employ them if I had a practice, to be honest.
I know, I mean, the eco-construction element of this as well. I mean, I was speaking to someone from Pasquale who's provided
the
timber frames.
Yeah.
And they were saying that all the construction industry is supposed to be Code 6 by 2016.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that feasible?
Probably not, to be honest. I mean, to some extent, I think what the difficulty is a lot of people right now are designing eco houses, and you'll probably see a few around here. But the problem is that nobody wants them because they're sort of specialist houses. No one's ever really... There's a few houses at the BRE Innovation Park which kind of start to point towards the idea that it could be a mass thing. But a lot of the eco houses at the moment are just sort of rich people in the countryside or generally rich people in general. There's nothing really aimed at the small family or kind of trying to show that by 2016 everything has to be. So the
and there's a lot of houses already built, of course. People don't have the option, do they? When you move into a new house, actually what you want is insulation, solar heating, and adding that to the house you already have.
One of the interesting things is the first project we did in the unit where this came out of as a group was in the university park. There's on the road, which is where these sort of test homes are, which this is going to become one of them. They've built a 1930s house, which is a brick, just standard brick uninsulated house. And the first project we had was giving us a budget and saying, you know, okay, make this code level 3, which is essentially what you need to get to make it, you know, affordable and sort of realistic for a family to actually live in there comfortably. So actually a lot of what came out of this was learning from developing with older housing.
So, I mean, all these materials are all being provided by
Saint-Gobain
and all their umbrella companies. Exactly. So, I mean, has that been a real bonus, having a company like that on board?
Yeah, quite a lot. I mean, I think we would have probably, as a sort of student team, we would have probably been able to go cap in hand to a few people to get... We'd have probably got some of the way, but... Just the fact that you can almost everything that we've needed. I mean, you forget how the screws, even down to the screws, we can get those from Saint-Gobain. So in terms of that, it's been fantastic because we can usually find whatever we want. And quite a lot of the companies that are on board, pretty much all of them, are also on board with the idea of sustainability. So we don't have to push too hard to find a product that's
Has that worked? Did you spec it and then decided that which products you needed and then went to Saint-Gobain and said this is what we want?
The original project wasn't based through Saint-Gobain, so the original project was specced just generally by me, Chris and Rachel.
Yeah.
Which was probably the process of going around EcoBuild last year and sort of finding companies. And really what we've done is tried to adapt what we originally designed, and so Saint-Gobain we found things that were equivalent under Saint-Gobain, and Saint-Gobain have provided us with things which we didn't think about. So there's kind of, it's gone both ways, and I think through talking to the companies, I think the companies are starting to figure out what people want as well. Because to some extent for Saint-Gobain, this is a good test project for figuring out where they should be going next.
Because they have so many companies, and my favourite Saint-Gobain fact is they were set up to provide the mirrors in the Palace of Versailles.
Yeah.
It's just such a cool...
It is, yeah.
They are an old company.
They're a very
and
old company.
They've evolved and become this, you know, umbrella organisation for what looks like every construction material possible.
Yeah, and it's not even random things as well. It's like you don't realise, but I mean, they own British Gypsum, which we're using. So, I mean, it's not like they own really random companies. They actually own sort of the sort of market leaders that you would have gone to anyway.
Yeah.
So it's been quite useful in that aspect.
So what's the stage for this when it's going on? I mean, is that the... That other module isn't going to make it here. So no. What do you think's going to happen tomorrow and the next day?
We've talked to the health and safety people at EcoBuild, and he seems quite happy. If we provide a handrail, well, essentially a barrier, which conforms to building regulations around the outside, which hopefully we'll be doing, then people can still go upstairs because there's an exhibition upstairs.
Yeah.
The ground floor of the house is essentially supposed to look like the house to some extent.
Yeah.
And then the upstairs is kind of showing it in process.
So that's quite... The fact that you've got a module missing is... It's annoying, but the chances are they won't know.
Well,
you will know, but but they probably
it lessens the effect from the outside, which is slightly annoying.
Yeah.
But I think we'll be able to figure out a way of making it part of the exhibition.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have enough time to do it well. But
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for having a chat with me. I think it gives an idea of just what's been going on to talk from today. So, thank you very much, Ben.